Welcome to show number 113 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. Yo, what is up, everybody? Hopefully you guys are all doing good out there. Got some interesting things to talk about on today's show. Meant to do a podcast sooner than this, and so we'll talk about why that didn't happen. Panini, as you probably already know, announced a new exclusive athlete to their stable, so we'll talk about that. Ultra Pro, everybody's favorite card protection, devices and little things to store your cards. And they contacted me about a week or 2 weeks ago and sent me their new double booklet one touch magnet card holder, and it's amazing. I did a video on it maybe a couple days ago on YouTube. If you haven't checked it out, I'll have a link in the show notes of these show notes, show 113. Check out the video, and we'll also talk about that on today's show. Some of that product in particular, but we'll also talk about some of the other products they sent me, and also how this could be really a good idea for sellers out there. I know I've said it many times on the show, if you listen, that selling supplies is the most scalable business in the whole sports card industry, because you don't have to be sitting there scanning cards. You don't have to be sitting there doing box break videos or selling anything other than one, it's really a simple business. And so simple businesses are scalable, meaning you can grow them quickly with just yourself. Whereas a box break website and selling boxes, to scale all the way up to the top, you need warehouses and employees and things that cost lots of money. So, I've said that pitch before. I don't know if anybody's gotten the message, though. We'll talk about Exquisite Basketball. I know this has been out for about a week, so we'll talk about maybe some of the box breaks and some of the stuff that has been going on in there. And that'll come on. We'll do that after we come back from break, and we'll probably combo. I wanted to go through each NBA team or each conference and kind of talk about a lot of players. I think we're going to run out of time before the NBA season starts, so I'll just kind of maybe package that up into a grande little mini basketball preview in the next segment as well. And we'll do a little fantasy. We'll probably mix in a little bit of fantasy because my mind's got to get there anyways. So this will be kind of, I'll be killing two birds with one stone. I'll be doing a little fantasy research because I think I got two drafts this weekend, and I'll combo what I find there and tell you about it. I am a two-time champion. You don't want to take football advice from me. You don't want to take soccer or hockey or anything else, but I am a back-to-back fantasy basketball champion in a pretty competitive league, in a pretty tough league. And we'll talk about the Giants. We'll move right into the Giants. So I think you get the gist of what we're going to be talking about on today's show. We're going to be talking about Ultra Pro. We'll talk about Exquisite Basketball. And we'll talk about Panini's new exclusive athlete. But let's move right into the Giants. Why? Also, I want to talk about my website was down for 2 days. Let's segue into that, and then we'll go to the Giants. So I forgot to – I didn't have that written down here, but – my website was down for 2 days. Basically, I run free software called Joomla, and it's open source software. Everybody can go look at the source code and make changes to it. So that makes it easy for hackers to come in there. And I actually have lots of friends in the webmaster world. I have more websites than sports card. Sports Card Radio is probably the website I get the most maybe free traffic from. I don't know. It's certainly the website I've spent the most time on, but I certainly have other websites that actually get more traffic and more, I don't know. I don't spend any time on those websites. That's the brilliant thing about them. But anyways, Sports Card Radio is my largest website. And so it takes literally about a half a day just to download files and upload files. Whenever you get hacked or something, you need to take your site offline and do a series of tests and things like that. And those, since I think the whole website with everything, you're looking at almost 12 gigabytes of data and files and stuff like that. So to transfer that back and forward, even with fast internet, even with server technicians that I'm sure had fast internet, took a long time. So I had to deal with that, and it's all good. Like I said, I have lots of friends. I pay an exorbitant amount of money for hosting, well and above what I probably should be paying. But it's because at times like this, you get great service. You actually get 24-hour-a-day service. So I was often up at 2, 3, 4 in the morning, emailing people and getting phone calls and having me answer questions and things like that. So Took about a day and a half, 2 days, but it's all good in the hood, as they like to say. Got a little bit more work to do, so you know, we'll be working on that over the next week. I think we're going to be going to some kind of template change at some point, and so but nothing. I don't want to change. People don't like change. I don't know if people like webmasters really get that. They always want to go to WebPoint 2.0 and make it all fancy. People don't like that. So I'm not going to change it up too much. Try to subtly enhance some things, make it a little bit easier to use. But other than that, it'll be the same. So you have nothing to worry about. This is also, I know a lot of people might listen to this and have blogs, or maybe you have a website where you sell cards and stuff like that. You need to back up your website. If I didn't back up my website, I probably would have lost everything. All four and a half years I've been working on this website. If I don't have back, and by I mean backups, a lot of people think, oh, I've got it on my server where my website is. No, you need to have an actual backup on a hard disk. And the real good ways to do it is have multiple, have one on a computer, have one on a disk, have one emailed to yourself. Since my website is very, very large, it's very abnormal. Like I said, every other website I have, I could have fixed it myself in about a day, in less than an hour. But since this site is so large and it's very large files, I have to do some different storage things, but I do it two or three times a week. Backing, I do it overkill. I used to do backups for an insurance website that I used to work for, or an insurance agency that I used to work for. So I was very adverse in backing up things. I was backing up customer data there. So that was even more important because it was very, very important to the business. So, but anyways, you know, it's very important, just to summarize it, it's very important to back up your website. It's very important to know which backups you need, because you need all of them. And you need them externally, at home, somewhere on a disk, hopefully in more than one location. And if you go on vacation or anything like that, you need to take them with you if your website is that important to you. So, and lastly, I just want to thank really quick, before we get on with the show, I know half the people, 90% of you don't really care about this, but I do want to say, I really want to appreciate it. I got emails and Facebook and Twitters and Google Pluses and places I hadn't been in a while. I got contacted in a lot of places about my website. I just want to thank everybody. That means the world to me. I guess I see the number of people that go to my website, but I don't quantify that into how those are actual people and they care. So I really appreciate that. And everything's all good. Like I said, you take the precautions necessary. You have backups upon backups upon backups, and nothing, you'll be fine. But if you don't have those, then I had one friend that literally lost his whole website. He'd been working about a year and a half on his website. So he learned a tough lesson, but it is what it is. You move on. So, but anyways, let's move on. Perfect segue. Let's move on to what's been just brightening my whole week, and maybe another reason why we haven't had a podcast in about a week or so. The SF Giants have been on a roll, just like they got on a roll about a season ago, or about two seasons ago, when they won the World Series in 2010. They have gotten on a similar roll with similar cast of characters that nobody else wanted. Like Marco Scudero was picked up midseason for something. I don't know what he came in for. Our closer is a late round draft pick. And we just have lots of Gregor Blanco and Angel Bagan. I mean, nobody knew who these people were. I barely knew who these people were when they came to the Giants. So, and it's incredible. We have half 90% of the season, people on KNBR 680, the local talk radio show out here that does a fantastic job of covering this. And in fact, that's another reason why I haven't done a podcast, is because they do such a good job. I want to listen to it almost all day. Everybody bashes on Pablo's weight and all that, and he hits three home runs in the first game. So it's been fantastic watching the Giants. As I'm recording this, they're up 2-0. Texas is who they played in 2010. The Tigers are a very, very talented team, and going back home, I'm sure they'll feel more comfortable, but we'll see what happens. The Giants have that fire in their eye. Detroit just looks like they want their offseason to begin. To be honest with you, I look at some of those guys, it's like they're either nervous, which is definitely possible, or they're really too relaxed for me. Whereas you look at the Giants and they're very intense, and that's to win at this level, that's what you need. And so hopefully the Giants don't lose it on the flight over to Detroit. But they're looking pretty darn good to me. And another thing is I can't remember what the odds were, but I bought a ticket for the Giants to win the World Series, and I gave it to my mom and dad. And I think it was a pretty good, like maybe like 10 to 1 or 9 to 1 to win. I don't think they were that good, or they were favored to win the World Series at the beginning of the year. So someone, if they win, is going to get a big payday. And maybe my mom will take me out to lunch or something. So I don't think she listens to the podcast, so I'll have to maybe subtly inform her about that. But anyways, let's move right on into some other news. Coopertown baseball, I think a lot of people are looking forward to this set. It was 10/24 last time I checked, which was actually a couple days ago. It was moved to 11/7, and I will be getting on the updates on that. So hopefully we'll probably talk about Coopertown baseball when it comes out. It should be an interesting product. Andrew Luck, they put, to refresh your memory, if you don't follow the Panini blog or follow the podcast that we had last week, and I can't imagine most people listening to this probably do, but Panini put up on their website, this is maybe for people, I know lots of people come in and they might listen to these shows maybe a year later, 2 years later, so it might be a good refresher for them. But anyways, last week, Panini put up a photo with Kobe, Kevin Durant, and I can't remember the other athlete that they have. But they put up a shadow that I swore looked like Dwayne Wade, but it ends up being Andrew Luck. So they kind of make a surprise. Andrew Luck is going to sign for Panini Authentic and have interesting signatures. You should be able to find a decent amount of Andrew Luck signatures going into Panini products. So that's pretty cool. You don't typically see a football player sign like this in his rookie season. I haven't seen this since it used to be lots of brands. When Upper Deck, Topps, and like Donruss and all the other brands were all competing against each other, you would see exclusive deals. You would see like Adrian Peterson sign with Upper Deck or whatever, and you would see Jamarcus Russell signed with somebody. So, you haven't seen this in a while. So that I don't think so. So, since it's gone to like just a Topps and a Panini exclusive, so them going, getting out and getting Andrew Luck, a good thing. I don't see Andrew Luck in as far as many commercials as I do Robert Griffin III. So I believe that Robert Griffin III has, I'm sure they both have great agents, but Robert Griffin III, I'm sure agent, is earning his money. I see that guy everywhere making the big bucks. So I guess if somebody wants to get him as their exclusive athlete, they're going to have to open the wallet. But I guarantee you Andrew Luck wasn't cheap either. So that was an interesting move, and we'll see how that positions Panini going forward in football and where people put their cards. I got to admit, I really like Panini's products, and I like what they're doing. I think they're showing some progress compared to where they were two seasons ago, three seasons ago, when they were just starting to make basketball cards. I think it's night and day, and I think I see products like Panini Prime, and even this year I thought, not Momentum, but what was the product before that? I can't remember what it was called, but it had the five different layers of rookies. But at Prominence, I think it was. I thought that was an interesting product. But anyways, let's move right on into Ultra Pro sent me a book card, double booklet, one-touch magnet cards. And this is for the cards that are more horizontal, that fold out horizontal and flip out. The normal, I guess, book, maybe that's why they call this book. I don't know if this is in the collector lingo or not, but they call this a double booklet card. And so those are folding out, so it's more a long way, so it looks like maybe like a ruler, I guess. Whereas there's another book card, this kind of made me think about it. I was like, yeah, I guess there are two kinds of book cards. And if you're a company like Ultra Pro, you actually, well, I'm sure they're working on this. I meant to email the contact I have over there. I'm sure they're working on the actual, what I guess is more referred to as a book card that folds open more like a book and is more vertical in nature. And when you fold it out, looks like a square, I guess, is a way to describe it on a podcast. And when you fold out a booklet card, it looks much more like a rectangle. And the ones that when it's fold out looks like a long skinny rectangle, that's what I have. And it's a very interesting holder. And it even comes with a little case in the back. So a little stand that you can slide together and you can put it on your shelf or on your desk or whatever. And these have UV protection, which means the sun puts out UV rays. I think I'm going over fifth grade. We might have some fifth graders to listen. But UVs come from, and it can fade signatures and fade anything. Fade the colors on the cardboard. It'll fade fabrics. UV rays, thank God for our ozone layer. Otherwise, we wouldn't even be able to go outside, or we'd all be dead. So this has protection for that. It is it's a very sturdy holder. It has three magnets on it. So it's basically, I think everybody's familiar with those, just a one-touch for one-touch magnet card holder for just one card. This has three of those magnets on there. So it's really nice. I think these are pretty nice. I have via Twitter and via doing some research, all about cards on Twitter said there's a shop in his local area that's selling them for $7.50 each, and blowoutcards.com online had them for $7.99 each. So it looks like people are pricing them in that $7 to $8 range. So it's not necessarily like, I wouldn't call that cheap necessarily, but you're not putting a cheap card. Most booklet cards aren't like $3 booklet cards. Most of them are nice, have big jumbo pieces of jersey. You probably paid $70, $80 for it, and obviously more in a lot of cases. Or it was like a case hit or something really nice. So, and most people don't necessarily have, if you're like me, I only had one book card. I'm sure if you have more money or even spend more money on those kind of cards, you probably maybe have 10, 15 of them. Even at $7, you're not looking at a really big investment to where you can finally present it and put it out on the wall. Or like I said on my video, you can use, maybe you're an eBay seller. For $7, you're going to have to somewhere factor that in the price of your card if you're going to send the card in this. But what I think this could be useful for is scanning the card for eBay auction. So, you can lay it down on your scanner and not have to worry about the signature being on there, or putting it in a team bag and have the team bag maybe look kind of wrinkled and not do the card justice. So if you're a seller and you often are pulling book cards, maybe even just buying one or two of these will do the trick for you. And or maybe having a couple of them on, what I would do is maybe as a seller is offer it to the buyer. Be like, hey, if you want me to ship it to you in the new holder, add whatever $6 or $7. You might be able to get it at a closer to wholesale cost, so you might be able to do some kind of discount there where you for $5 or $6 you can ship it to them. I don't know. That's something you can decide as a seller. But I think if you are selling, you might want to pick up one or two of these because it seems like it's easy to pop them open and close and pop one in and do a scan, pop it out and do another one. I think just it might make it a lot easier for that. It might make even the scan show up a lot better and help your sales out. So that's that. And we're at the 20-minute mark. We might as well wrap up this segment. So we want to thank Ultra Pro. Last thing I want to say there is if you want to get Ultra Pro products, the easiest way to get them is actually request them at your hobby stores, because chances are, I remember when I had a store, I did kind of an initial order. You had to get a feel for what kind of collectors you had. I had a lot of people that wanted binder pages. I had a lot of people that wanted the cardboard boxes. I had a lot of people that wanted soft sleeves. Not a lot of people needed the really expensive holders, but I needed lots of binder pages. I remember binder pages and boxes. People wanted that all the time for their cards. So, but as a hobby shop, this might be out, and maybe there's lots of customers that need it. So you need to go to your hobby shop, say, hey, I heard about these Ultra Pro one-touch holders. Can you get them? Can you order me one, two, three, five, however many you need? Just let as many places know as you can. Ask them if they have them. If they don't, ask them if they can get them. And I'm sure they can. So it looks like these are going through the distribution channels, and it looks like they're available for order. It's just the word's got to get out there, and the best way to spread the word is just by spreading the word through other collectors, and by telling hobby shop owners and people that sell these kind of things on websites and things like that. So that's your job if you're trying to hunt down one of these. But they definitely look available online too as well in the $8, $7.99, $8 range. So very cool. And yeah, again, that wraps it up for this very first segment. When we come back, we're going to be talking about exquisite basketball. I mean, it's almost like a perfect segue. We were talking about book cards. There was quite a few book cards in exquisite basketball, and including, I think, the bling ones. I think the bling ones folded out. I don't know. I don't think the bling ones folded out. There's another book card in there that I'm thinking of. But we'll talk about it. Obviously, I got to go do a little cleanup on my research on exquisite basketball. We'll talk about that. I'll talk about probably some of the higher dollar cards that have sold, some of the interesting cards that have sold over the past week or two. So that'll be interesting. And we'll combo that with a little bit of a basketball preview. So we'll do a little bit of fantasy basketball love and a little bit of breaking down some of the teams and some of the interesting players and matchups that might occur during this upcoming season that starts really soon. We'll be back right after this. About some exquisite basketball. Mainly, we'll just go down, since it's been a little bit since this set has come out. You guys are probably, most of the basketball collectors out there are familiar with this, so you know what's going on. I'll just run down maybe the top 5 or 6, 10 top sales and what I kind of think about that. And also, hey, if you're a seller, don't sleep on basketball. I'll get to that in a minute, why I'm saying that. If you're a seller, don't sleep on basketball, because it has a big, much bigger market than people give it credit for. Number one sale, Michael Jordan, obviously. I mean, this guy is like the god of all athletes, pretty much. His exquisite shadow box dimension, they call these dimensions, but they're essentially look like the shadow box cards most people are familiar with. In Upper Deck, I think these look pretty nice. This one sold for $512 with 24 bids. That's a big price. But keep in mind, this is just one card, one Michael Jordan card. $512 is not a lot of money to a decent percentage of people out there that collect cards or even have money. So, but to me and to a lot of people, $512 is a fortune. And so, you know, Michael Jordan is a great athlete, and that's what you want to keep in mind when you price your cards. If you have a card, I get, you know, hey, is this worth thousands of dollars? It's like, well, Michael Jordan's worth 512, and I sure as heck would want that card over just about any other card. And so, you know, aside from maybe some vintage cards and things like that, Michael Jordan autograph is like a pinnacle of most people's collection. So $512, that really isn't a whole lot of money. So, but it is the highest priced card so far. Another interesting, this is why I say don't sleep on basketball. There are so many players playing in basketball from all countries across the whole world, and they are so big. They're bigger than the presidents. They are put up right there with like the religious figures that everybody loves in these countries. I mean, these guys make it to the NBA, and you are absolutely loved. And it's very interesting. The actual – you would have expected Michael Jordan to be the number one sale. And LeBron – there was a LeBron James card that actually sold for a lot, but it only had one bid. So these are multiple bids. The next two guys are white guys, so that's very interesting when you're talking about the NBA. Nikola Vucevic, 1 of 25 autographed rookie card, $304 with 7 bids, is the second highest price multiple bid card that sold on eBay in the last week or so. Incredible. The next one is Chandler Parsons from the Rockets, autographed 1 of 25, $304 again with 19 bids. This is why people that say, oh, I don't collect, sellers that ignore basketball, Have you ever heard of Nikola Vucevic and Chandler? Most people, I've heard, definitely heard of Chandler. He had a pretty good run of fantasy last year for a decent period of time for the Rockets. $304, $200 less than Michael Jordan. Basketball is not dead. It is, has some overseas buyers that definitely pay quite a bit of money. I'm not saying that maybe the Nikola card was definitely an overseas buyer, but Chandler Parsons, man, these guys, people love these guys from college still. People love them in the NBA. So I see a Klay Thompson one. I bought it now for over $200. Here's a LeBron James. Those cards that Chandler Parsons sold for more than LeBron James Dimensions card. His sold for $239. This is coming off a world championship for 25 bids. Not that $239 is anything to sneeze at. I guarantee you if he would have choked it in the finals, that card would have probably sold for quite a bit less than that. But here's another Klay Thompson, numbered out of 199, $213. Klay Thompson. And if you didn't listen to our basketball preview on last show, the Warriors have a tremendous amount of depth. And the production you saw out of Klay Thompson last year was totally out of proportion to what you probably see. Although Curry is already injured, he will get hurt, and I'm sure they'll have other injuries. They've added enough pieces here that, and even last year when they had nobody, the coach would cool Klay Thompson. Mark Jansen would bench Klay Thompson. I watched a lot of Warriors games last year, even when they were when they had nobody, when they had like six guys on the roster that could play basketball, and two of them were on 10-day contracts. His production last year, where he averaged a lot of points, was skewed quite a bit. So don't be surprised if this guy doesn't even start, if he doesn't play a major role with the Warriors this year. They still need to develop him, and I don't know if he has the ability. Who knows? I had him on my fantasy team, and he's the reason why I won, and I'm clowning on him. So that should give you another idea that maybe $200 for his autograph is a little rich. We'll see. I know that they really like Harrison Barnes there too, but not to get too far off topic. Jonas I don't even know how to say this guy's last name. It sold for $143 with 22 bids. That shows you right there that the Kawhi Leonard from San Antonio, $229 out of 199. These cards, the Jonas, I can't even say his last name, is at a 199 and it sold for $143. I've never even heard of this guy. So this should tell you that basketball is just, a lot of these bids I guarantee you are coming in from overseas. These are not all U.S. people throwing money down on this. So don't sleep on basketball. Don't ignore basketball. Don't think you pull some white guy that you can't pronounce his name that it's worthless. Those are sometimes the cards that are worth the most money, especially when they don't have many autographs. This might be one of their first cards. That makes it worth quite a bit of money to collectors. So don't sleep on basketball sellers out there. This stuff is worth money, and there's lots of collectors out there. And as we're rolling into the new season, there's going to be some excitement, and it's a full season. We get all 82 games. Players are going to be able to recover this year because last year the games were so compressed and it was like boom, 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 boom. If you had a minor injury, chances are you came back and played, and that hurt Derrick Rose. It hurt Andre Bargnani. It hurt countless of other players out there that had to come back a little too soon and then ended up missing almost a whole season because of it. So I anticipate less opportunities for people like Klay Thompson, for example, and other guys that kind of move to the forefront because of injuries. There'll be injuries again. I mean, there's injuries every year, but guys are going to have a little bit more time to recover this year from those injuries. So I think you'll see a little bit cleaner game in terms of having most of the starters stay in. Let's run down. I've just got about 10 players that I just ran down a list of NBA players, and I wanted to talk about just a couple of them, mostly all good. And I threw in a couple in here where I might be put kind of like Klay Thompson. I kind of dissected his game. We'll see if my dissection really pans out or not. Most of it depends on injuries in Golden State. But let's start with Ty Lawson. This guy had a tremendous season last year. Looked good at times, was inconsistent for stretches of time, but he could have been tired. I know Denver was like, they did some trades and stuff like that. So some of that probably had a factor into it. But I think this guy is good, plays with a good motor. Hopefully he worked on his jump shot. I don't normally say that with most people, but and finishing around the basket. He missed some layups, missed some opportunities to get and ones and stuff like that because he doesn't finish to the basket maybe as well as somebody like Tony Parker. But I think Ty Lawson is a quality player. These are all players that you can probably get fairly affordably as well. And Ty Lawson, I know that he had a good season last year. His autographs and rookie cards probably get a little more attention. But Denver has a solid team. They added Iguodala, and I think they're a decent team. And I think Lawson, if he plays as well as if he improves like he did last year over the previous year, if he keeps improving, I think he might be a very good point guard. Especially in fantasy, you might be able to get him far cheaper than, like, obviously Derrick Rose and point guards people pay a lot of attention to. You'll get quite a bit of production out of Lawson. Marshawn Brooks, if you listen to the show, you know I'm somewhat of a fan of this guy. Again, very inconsistent last year. I think thinks very highly of his game. We'll see if he worked on it over the summer. I think he needed to improve his ball handling. And I think he needed to improve some of his offensive weapons. But this guy had quite a bit of offensive weapons. But like I said, he needed to improve his ball handling a little bit in terms of, you know, getting guarded and creating space and stuff like that. I think if he does that and his footwork, he'll be a very solid player. We'll see. I know that they've added Joe Johnson and some other players there. And he might have even moved on. I don't know where Brooks actually plays yet. I haven't even looked into that. But he's a very solid player either way. Very talented player in terms of offensive game. And he has some long arms and he's a decent defensive player. But he's a little inconsistent and plays with maybe a little bit of an attitude in the kind of like, I'm too good for this game attitude. If he knocks that off, I think he'll be a good guy. In terms of fantasy, he's a late round sleeper. Don't do it unless you have lots of guys in your league. Ersan Ilyasova is another reason why I won fantasy basketball last year. This guy had a game, I think, where he scored like 29 points and he had like 25 rebounds or something like that. And I think he followed that game up with another really good game. The coach sometimes cools him. I think later in that week he didn't even start a game or something like that. So the coach is rather weird with the minutes. They have a lot of depth in Milwaukee. But this guy's a very solid NBA player, and chances are he'll be a very solid fantasy player for you. Won't be a sensational player, but can knock down the three and can rebound and can do it all, basically. I don't know how Milwaukee kept this guy, because I heard like about 13 or 14 NBA teams were interested in his services. I don't know why a team like Miami or somebody with, I don't know if Miami had any cap room, but somebody with some money didn't, especially a winning team. If you were a San Antonio or a Los Angeles Lakers or a Miami or a Dallas Mavericks, some one of those teams, or even Chicago, picking up this guy could have put you into over the top. This guy is that good of a team basketball player. This guy's an NBA player. As for his rookie cards and stuff like that and his autographs, they have some value. But being in Milwaukee, you're buried there. So we'll see if Milwaukee can turn into a winner. I don't know. Maybe turn into Oklahoma City. We'll see. Andrew Bynum, former Laker, my boy going. I think he has some kind of injury now. This is a guy I think you want to avoid almost in all cases, buying his cards. Sorry, Sixer fans, and I think in fantasy as well. I think injuries are going to be a problem for him, and also I think double teams. Andrew Bynum is going to get double teamed more in Philadelphia because he just doesn't have the players on the outside to throw to that he did at the Lakers. I mean, he can't double off Kobe. He can't double off some of the other players that we had. Couldn't double off Lamar Odom and things like that, so he's going to have a little bit of a problem, I think, maybe dominating quite as much. But we'll see. Maybe not. If he can stay healthy, I think he's a very effective center. But there's some effective centers like Greg Monroe. I should have him on my list. I think Greg Monroe is going to have a really good year. Roy Hibbert's another solid center in the East. There's some solid centers in the East. So maybe that's why Dwight Howard wanted to come out here. So Andrew Bynum, I think, is and will be a solid center. But don't expect him to all of a sudden become, you know, like a 23 point a game, like 8, 9 rebound kind of guy in Philly. I just don't see it happening. Isaiah Thomas. No, not the player that I hate from the Pistons and who's a coach and who I think is a jerk. And I mean, he got left off the dream team, so that tells you what people think about him. No, the point guard for – he actually spells Isaiah, I think, a little bit differently. Point guard for Sacramento, and who definitely might end up driving Tyreek out of town at some point if he plays well enough. We'll see if he plays with the energy he did last year, but I consider this guy a very good player and will play hard because he hasn't made his money yet. So we'll see if teams adjust. Sometimes it's like, who's this, you know, second-round draft pick? And maybe guys took him a little easy last year. You know, now he'll probably get most people's best effort, and coaches will be like, don't get burned by this guy. So we'll see how he responds in year two. But an interesting player, and I noticed his rookies weren't selling for a whole lot of money. We'll see if he can create that excitement again last year. I think he's a good buy at some of his prices now. Luol Deng is one of my favorite players in the NBA. I didn't have him on my fantasy team last year when I won, but I had him on the season before that. One of the most consistent players in the NBA. Very consistent, controlling the ball. He's a great defender, and he plays lots of minutes. Coach Thibodeau there in Chicago plays him tons of minutes. He plays usually consistently the most minutes on the whole team. And certainly with Derrick Rose out and stuff like that, I consider Luol a very strong play in basketball cards. He's not going to go up a bunch in cards, but I just see him being a very consistent player. He's also been the target of trade talks, so he could be, again, on the move this year, depending on what Chicago wants to do. But we'll see what happens there. I don't know too much about his situation in that realm. But Kenneth Faried, a young player, a very talented player here. This guy plays with lots of energy and at times was very good last year. We'll see how many minutes he gets this year. I don't even know what his situation will be there. If you want him in fantasy, you might want to look into that. I noticed people were paying decent amount for his cards as well, but you know, he's kind of an awkward player. He needs to develop like a mid-range jumper at some point, but doesn't want to rely on that. He does play with really good energy, and sometimes you see a player like Blake Griffin. I know we talked about him on the last show. Blake Griffin played with tremendous energy in his rookie season, which was obviously his second season, missing his first. But then last year, I noticed Blake Griffin looked like he was It kind of looked like, to me, he was like high, like the whole game. Like, he just kind of looked out of it, and he would just shoot the jumper from the elbow, like shoot the little Carmelo wing jumper, and that's really all he was doing. I mean, yeah, there were some dunks here and there, and there were some rebounds, but I didn't see the fire in his eye. I didn't see him playing with a tremendous amount of energy. So we'll see if he can bring that back, and we'll see if Faried brings that back, because that's really where his differentiating factor was in terms of his game. Derek Favors, a top pick in, I think, 2010-11, is where you can probably find his cards far more affordably now. They've probably gotten cheaper and cheaper. He got some opportunities last year and occasionally played well. I think this is a turning point year for him. You could probably buy his cards now and be like, yeah, if he busts out, they'll probably go a little lower. I wouldn't buy one of his really expensive cards. You can just buy one of his base autograph, like a gold standard rookie or like a totally certified rookie of him. And you know, don't buy one of the ones out of 25 that are $30, because there's more downside there. But one that only costs under $10, there's not much downside. Yeah, if it goes down to $2, whatever, you lose some money. It's much better. That one out of 25 will definitely go down to $2 too. So, you know, those are the kind of things you want to think of. There's more upside in a $5, $6 autograph. It certainly can go to $5, $10, $20 with not much less downside than one that you pay more for. So Derek Favors, that's my maybe buy of this whole list, because I think you're buying at really low levels. And Utah just wants to develop their players from within. They don't ever really sign free agents or ever make too many trades. They do a lot of just developing from within. So he's a good guy from that they're trying to develop. We'll see if he does. But he played well at times last year. We'll see how he worked on his game. Chris Humphreys. I mean, this is the guy who Derek Favors should model his game after. Chris Humphreys is going to catch a ton of bricks, Joe Johnson bricks this year, and he'll catch a ton of Deron bricks. and he'll just, you know, be a solid player. This is another solid player with not much upside in fantasy, not much upside when you buy his cards, but it's just a perfect steady player, especially in fantasy. Last two players to close it out as we've been going rapid fire here. Last two guys here, Kyrie Irving, and more importantly, I think Tristan Thompson, I think, has more upside than Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving, I think, has more downside because he's on the cover of the shoe magazines and he challenges Kobe to one-on-one and he's talking a big game. But I guarantee you that Cleveland ain't going to be winning nothing for years. Trust me, if Miami stays together and Boston can draw free agents in, and there's other teams in the East that are much farther along in developing their players and having talent than Cleveland, you aren't going to win anything. Trust me, Kyrie Irving, you're not going to win anything for many years. So people are going to slow. Even if you put up good numbers, no one's going to care about you. So that's why I think his cards have more downside risk. I see people paying $200-$300 for his cards. Like he's going to be a bit, you know, that's more than Deron Williams and Chris Paul in some cases. So, and look at what those, if you don't win the championship, and plus it's tough for a point guard to really just, you know, Derrick Rose has gotten hurt. Derrick Rose is the guy that everybody's paying a lot of money for now. But, you know, if you don't win and your stats aren't really like, you know, it's tough for a point guard to lead the league in scoring and lead the, you know, be the, you know, they really shouldn't win MVP, I don't think, either. But Tristan Thompson, to move on from bashing Kyrie Irving, sorry for everybody that has his cards, but I think they're a little rich now. I think he's a good player. I ain't saying he's a bad player and that he's a bad – I might even have him on my fantasy team for the right price. But, you know, I think there's no upside there. Can his cards go to $400 or $500? No, Michael Jordan is selling for $400 or $500 out of Exquisite. So his cards can only go down. They're at $230, and Cleveland cannot win the NBA Finals next year. It's, I mean, maybe I'm wrong there, but they're not going to win. So it's going to be hard for him to go up. He's not going to average 20 points. He's probably not going to be able to stay healthy. He's not like he's a big guy. So you just got to put the pieces together as fans. I think some people willy-nilly spend money just because he's the number one pick and he's rookie of the year or whatever, but they don't really do the research and realize what's going on. But I did see a preseason, and I'm going off some knowledge here. I did see a preseason game. I think it was the Cavs and the Clippers or Cavs and somebody. I was impressed with Tristan Thompson. Not that I think he's going to average 18 points next year, but I didn't see much from him last year other than some like tip dunks and some rebounds and maybe a little bit here and there. But I was really impressed. I noticed some post game. He looked like a guy to me that had worked on his game. And so that's what you want to see. Maybe, yeah, Kyrie Irving will work on his game, but everybody's already put him up there with Derrick Rose and Chris Paul. And, you know, it's tough to stay up there. Whereas Tristan Thompson, I don't think a lot of people are expecting – his cards are worth money, but certainly not as much as Kyrie Irving. I think there's far more upside in a guy like Tristan Thompson, who looks like, to me, can be a very solid player. If he continues to work on that post move, you know, he doesn't have to go up against some of the league's best at his position. There are some good players, but certainly not low post defenders. So I really like his game. And I think if he can bulk up a little bit, maybe even develop some kind of jump shot or maybe some, you know, turn face up to the basket, go to the basket like Lamar Odom type game, he could be a very, very, very good player. So I was impressed. I saw improvement because I did watch – I can't remember why I watched Cavs games last year, but there was a reason. I watched maybe like 15, 20 Cavs games last year, maybe because I just remember seeing opponents. Didn't remember seeing a whole lot from Tristan Thompson. Did see a decent amount from him in the preseason. So there we go. Well, hey, folks, that wraps it up on today's show. I think there's football and baseball fans out there that are just cringing at all this basketball talk. And there will be more as we go through the season. But we will transition into some more football because I know we're getting into football season. It's really exciting. Not if you're a Bengals fan, because we've been losing, and I do have a Bengals, I don't know if I've ever said this on this show, I do have a, try to do it weekly, I don't always get to it, but I do have, if Bengals, what's my website? I don't remember, BengalsPodcast.com, I think is my website, but I think you can find it on iTunes and stuff like that, but if you're a Bengals fan, I do a Bengals podcast. I need to do that actually after I record this one. But that about wraps it up for today, folks. thanks again for tuning in. We, like I said, we'll be focusing on some football and some baseball as we roll into the new season. We'll talk about some of those products. But I missed basketball, and I love basketball. And I've been getting ready, obviously, for the new fantasy season. So it's been on my mind. So I apologize to you out there if you're not a fan. But I know there's plenty of you guys out there. And, hey, that wraps it up. So hopefully we'll get back more into – hopefully I won't have the Hack Attackers. I felt honored, though, because I saw earlier in the week, like, Wells Fargo and, like, Citibank and some other websites had gotten hacked. And I was like, man, I was like – I actually remember thinking this just about a week ago. I was like – I saw that, like, Wells Fargo and, like, all these big banks got hacked and stuff. I was like, man – if they can hack them, they can probably hack my website and almost any other website in their sleep. Like, literally, they could just do it with two clicks of a mouse, probably. So that just tells you how sophisticated some of these people are. So that's why you have to be prepared. It happens to everybody. Trust me, it's not the first time it happened to me this year. First time it happened to me on this server plan with Sports Card Radio, so I was a little concerned about that just initially, but it's not that big of a deal, obviously, if you have backups. But it's not the first time it happened to me. I've, like I said, lots of websites, and it happens quite a bit. But if you have all the backups and you have it all in place, it's no big deal. But like I said, this site has just gotten so big, it takes literally about half a day for me to upload it, a fresh copy to a server, and then they need to download it, then they need to restore it, and that all takes basically a whole day when it's all said and done. So, boy, it's been a long last couple days because I've had to stay up and answer phone calls and emails and make sure stuff gets done. But it's all good in the hood. And I'm doing great. I can't wait till the rest of the World Series. We'll see what happens the rest of the way. Good luck if you're a Detroit fan. My team's looking great. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be going to a parade here pretty soon. Crossing my fingers. Knocking on some wood, and I guess that's probably about time to close the show. We've gotten far off topic. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for everybody that hung with us the last few days, hung with us over the 4 years. I appreciate all my fans out there, all of you. I really appreciate all of you. If there's anything I can do for you, you can send me an email at sportscardshow@gmail.com. Send me a Twitter message or whatever at sportscardradio. And you can get us on Facebook, wherever, Google Plus, any of them. You can get at me anytime, and I'm happy to hear from you. Thanks again for tuning in. Have a good weekend. We are out of here.